Grace and peace to you today as we gather in the name of the living Christ to worship God with one another. Surely God is in this virtual place and in this physical space worshiping and calls us to worship together in spirit and in truth. Let us pray together this morning. Loving God, it is you who gives life and breath to everyone, and in you alone can we find life, breath, and meaning for ourselves and for our world. For those who have been blessed with an awareness of your mothering care for us, God, who have looked to you for guidance and have nurtured us as mothers in faith to this day, we give you thanks. We pray that you would unite us as your children to be a nurturing influence on others, that they too may enjoy full life within your family. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Welcome to Parma Christian Church on this Mother's Day. And we'd like to remind you that you're welcome to join us here on Facebook Live each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. or with us in the sanctuary so that we are now worshiping together in person. For any visitors who are joining with us today, I am Reverend Nancy Dunn, the interim pastor at Parma Christian Church. Richard Woodward is our organist and pianist. Daryl Cravanos is our IT technician and videographer. And our elder for the day is Marianne Woodward. There are a few items I'd like to remind you of this morning as we worship together, both in person and at home virtually. Communion, we do participate in weekly communion, and we invite all to participate with us. So if you are at home, we ask you to use whatever you may have for the bread and the cup, and for those in the sanctuary with us, I remind you that there is a bread and a cup little kit for you back in the back of the sanctuary. To remind you of offering, your generosity is greatly appreciated, and you may use our online giving tool, or you may mail in your offering to Parma Christian Church, 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129, or you may simply drop your offering in the tray at the back of the sanctuary. For those of us here in the sanctuary, in order to ensure that the health and safety of everyone in attendance, please follow all COVID-19 safety protocols by wearing your mask at all times, by keeping a social distance from one another, from others who are not in your family COVID bubble. And you may wear your mask at all times, and you may lower it for communion, and you can share a friendly hello by waving with each other, to each other. And when we recite the Lord's Prayer, please do so quietly so we can keep our aerosols to a minimum. It is a rainy day, which means that it's not going to be very easy for us to visit with one another outside. So say your hellos to each other here in the sanctuary when worship is concluded, but we ask that you not stay in the building very long. Remember that it's not a requirement to be vaccinated to attend worship, but we do ask that you follow all safety guidelines whether you are vaccinated or not. I do want to, as we continue with worship today, point out that the scripture I'm going to be using in just a few moments, instead of being the John 15 scripture that was published in the bulletin, Pastor's Privilege, I changed my mind. We will be reading from Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. And our worship continues now with music.
Thank you.
Our scripture is from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. The book of Acts follows the story of the disciples after Jesus' resurrection and actually begins with the story of his ascension to heaven. The 10th chapter of Acts introduces us to the story of Peter and Cornelius, who is a Roman centurion. Cornelius wants to learn more about Jesus, and God gives a vision to Peter and sends Peter to him. During their time together, Peter shares the good news of Jesus with Cornelius and his household. And Peter comes to a realization that God even welcomes Gentiles into God's family. Hear now the scripture from God's holy word. While Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When my husband Chris was a senior in college, he went with his church on a spring break mission trip to Managua, Nicaragua. It was a memorable week for many reasons, and I've heard him talk about this story many, many times. And one of the reasons why this trip was so memorable for him was that on that Sunday morning they were there, they attended a worship service. This happened to be the day after they arrived, so he was beginning to get acclimated to the community and to the people there. The group drove from the school where they were staying, just outside of town, back into the heart of the city to a barrio that had been settled by squatters. The people living there had been there long enough that they had begun to build proper houses, or what passed for proper houses. The roofs were made of corrugated metal, often scrap. The floors were dirt, yet immaculately swept. The walls were sometimes concrete blocks or brick, but sometimes they were made of the same scrap metal as the roof. The streets were dirt and deeply rutted. Some must have been impossible to traverse after heavy rains. And the church they attended was located in this barrio. So there Chris was, a middle-class, white American, male college student, attending church with a community of poor, what he perceived to be undereducated, brown-skinned Nicaraguans. The service, of course, was in Spanish, so he understood very little of what was said or sung. His couple of semesters of Spanish did not improve his capability of communicating with them. And he thought at the time that he was pretty open-minded and unprejudiced. But he has to admit that he was not prepared for what he encountered that morning. Now, let me quote Chris on this. He said, "I encountered the Holy Spirit in the Nicaraguans. To my surprise, they knew Jesus as well or better than I did. I'm not sure if I was more surprised that they knew Jesus that well, or more surprised that I was surprised they knew Jesus." It was the singing of the hymn in Spanish at the cross which first broke through my spiritual pride and prejudice. But all of the service, the prayers, the other songs, the offering, the scripture, told me that Jesus was there in that room. I saw in the Nicaraguans' faces and heard in their voices sincerity, familiarity, and joy. They knew Jesus. God had showered them with grace. The Holy Spirit had been given to them, pouring love into their hearts. What had been an abstract intellectual concept became for me a reality. God is no respecter of race or class or gender or ethnicity. As Peter learned in his encounter with Cornelius, God does not show partiality to one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships God and does what is right is acceptable to God. God is love and reaches out to embrace the whole world, all people, all ethnicities, all classes, all races, all genders, in love and draws them to God's self. So there Chris was, feeling pretty good about his faith, secure in his understanding of who God is and how God acts, and comfortable in the adequacy of his love for neighbors when Jesus and the Holy Spirit interrupted. Such was the experience of Peter. More than once in the 10th chapter of Acts, Peter finds himself interrupted by God. First, Peter is sitting on the roof in the middle of his afternoon prayers when he is interrupted by a vision that overturns his concepts of what is ritually clean and unclean, what he could eat and what he could not eat. He is told by a heavenly voice, "Never consider unclean what God has made pure." Well, Peter needed time to process this, but his contemplation of the meaning of the vision was again interrupted. This time the Holy Spirit told him, "Three men are here to see you. Get up. Don't ask questions. Just go with them because I have sent them to you." Peter does so and discovers that they want him to travel back north to Caesarea with them. Surely this interrupted Peter's plans for the next day and beyond, but Peter went, whether he wanted to or not, because the Holy Spirit was leading him to go. I'm reminded of what a Methodist bishop told a group of deacons after their ordination several years ago. The Methodist bishop said, "Sisters and brothers, be aware in your ministry the Holy Spirit will lead you somewhere you do not wish to go. If you wanted to go there, the Holy Spirit would be unnecessary." So Peter arrives in Caesarea and meets Cornelius, who describes the vision he received. Then he said to Peter, "We're all here, gathered in God's presence and ready to listen to what God has given you to say." So Peter begins to deliver a sermon, briefly detailing all that God has done in Jesus, but he doesn't get to finish because Peter is interrupted again. While he's speaking, the Holy Spirit comes upon Cornelius and his household. Now, this is very significant because, you see, Cornelius and his household have not yet confessed belief in Jesus as Lord and Savior. They have not yet been baptized. They haven't been circumcised. You see, they're Gentiles. They're not Jewish. Up to this point in Acts, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of God's presence and power, has only been given to Jews who have already confessed belief in Jesus as the Messiah, and then been baptized. Believing, confessing one's faith, and behaving, being baptized, have preceded belonging to the community. But you see, here now in this scripture, that order is reversed, and expectations are overturned. Grace is poured out on unbaptized Gentiles who began to speak in tongues and prophesy. The Jewish Christians are amazed. They're shocked because these Gentiles have clearly been adopted by God and blessed with God's Spirit, though they have yet to be baptized. They already belong to God's family. And they belong to the same community of faith as the Jewish believers. Scott Spencer points out that in Acts, the gift of the Spirit is always associated with believing and baptism, but the order actually turns out to be flexible. There is an element of surprise and freedom in the actions of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit cannot be contained. God's Spirit blows where it will, and when it will, and how it will. It is a gift of grace born of God's love, a gift freely and generously given. But throughout Acts, one of the primary purposes of the Holy Spirit is to bring unity across social and cultural lines. The boundaries that separate humans fall before the love of God that reaches out to all and unites them together in the midst of their diversity. Though they remain different in many ways, they are united by the Spirit in one faith and one love. Peter and his Jewish Christian companions learned the same lesson that Chris learned in Nicaragua, that God transcends boundaries and reaches out to all. Paul Rock observes, through the Spirit, the resurrected Jesus is turning things completely upside down again, just as Jesus did in his earthly life, when he welcomed outcasts, touched lepers, and ate with tax collectors and sinners. Once again, Jesus is telling people they belong to God's family even before they believe and behave. It is precisely this graciousness and unearned love that justifies our practice of open communion. Communion, by definition, is about belonging. It is about being a friend of Jesus and a child of God. But this love, this belonging, is not earned. It precedes any belief or actions on our part. Our belief, our behaviors, are not the cause of the belonging, but a response to God's love. We love God and others because God first loved us, just as we learned last week. We believe and behave as Christians because God first loved us. Tara Edelschick was not a religious person, much less a Christian. Metaphorically, we might say she was a Gentile. Her parents were a non-practicing Jew and a non-practicing Lutheran. Quite the family combination. As a result, she was raised in a very secular home with only the vaguest notions of what religion was. She lived her life, grew up, went to college, got married, had children without any connections to a religious community or even any personal spirituality. She was getting along pretty well until she wasn't. In a period of 2 weeks, tragedy struck her life. Her husband died after routine surgery, and the pregnancy she had ended in an unfortunate way. And not surprisingly, she fell into a deep depression. She tried to work through the depression and grief. She began to wrestle with questions of meaning. She was seeking something, purpose, reason, hope, help. She searched widely, trying many things simultaneously. She consulted psychics, read New Age books, tried meditation classes. She even found herself praying, though she didn't really believe there was anyone there to hear her. Her friend Tony tried to help. They talked frequently over the phone, and Tony was the only Christian Tara knew. And during their conversations, he read to her from the Gospel of John. He didn't try to convince her that Jesus was the solution to her problems. He just listened and read, trusting God to do the talking. Tony did eventually suggest that she go to church. Tara was willing to try anything, so she Googled liberal churches in New Jersey. The results showed a church reasonably nearby, so one Sunday she went. Tara described what happened in an article that's in Christianity Today. She wrote, "They practiced open table fellowship." I had no idea what that meant, but when everyone else got up to stand around a fancy table, I didn't want to be left sitting alone in my seat. By the time I figured out that everyone was up to take communion, I had a choice. Did I still want to go it alone, desperately trying to keep all the balls in the air? Or did I want to admit that Jesus had offered himself up so that I didn't have to be alone, to admit that I had little control, but was infinitely loved? Having the choice of communion made it clear to me what I wanted. After months of trying to find out what I was looking for, I had to admit what I had fought so long to resist. I was hungry for Jesus. In the end, all my searching for something in which to place my faith didn't lead to a well-reasoned decision to choose Jesus over other gods. Instead, God offered me God's self in the form of Jesus. I didn't have to find God or explain God or even make sense of God. I just had to say yes. Now, Tara hadn't been baptized. She wasn't at all sure what she believed, and yet she found grace at the communion table. I have no doubt that it was the Holy Spirit who drew her slowly over many months to that table where she found Jesus waiting to welcome her. Jesus, who had already named her a child of God. As Tara, Peter, Cornelius, and Chris all found out, Jesus has a way of interrupting the normal course of our lives, overturning our concepts of who's in and who's out, disrupting our well-thought-out, established way of doing things, expanding the circle of God's family, and in the process, opening our own hearts and minds. That, my friends, is called grace. And it's what God's love looks like. That is who we are called to be. People filled with God's grace, arms open wide, and ready to welcome others into God's family. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer today, I invite you who are at home to list the names of those that you want us to pray for, and you can type that into the comment section on Facebook, and we will pray for them this week. I do want to acknowledge the white rose that is here today in honor and memory of Mary Ann's mother, Ida, whose life was celebrated this past week. We lift up the following prayer concerns. Let us pray for Joe's brother, Robert, Bob, my mother-in-law, Brenda, Dennis, Steve, Pam, Kathy, and Tom, Julie's granddaughter, Ricky, Jackie and Nicole, Burday's brother Clyde, Terry, and the Marchese family. And we pray for all who've been exposed to or diagnosed with COVID-19. We pray for all who are affected by the economic impact of the pandemic. We also pray for our country that we might see one another as valued children of God and that we are able to extend God's grace to all. Let us pray. Loving God, it is you who gave life and breath to everyone in our world, and in you alone can we find life, breath, and meaning for ourselves and our world. For those who have been blessed with an awareness of your mothering care, who have looked to you for guidance and nurture, we give you thanks. And we pray that you would unite us within your family to be a nurturing influence on others, that they too may enjoy life within your family. For those who hunger and thirst, who are lost and alone, who yearn to be given new direction, new hope, and new life, we pray that you would care for them through us. Let us be seen and known as your faithful children in this community of faith to which you have given birth. Help us to uphold your name by acting as Jesus our brother, in faithfulness and trust in you. On this Mother's Day, we give thanks to you for the divine gift of motherhood in all its diverse forms. We pray for all the mothers among us today, for our own mothers, those living, and those who have passed away, for the mothers that loved us and those who feel short of loving us fully, for all who hope to be mothers someday, and for those who hope to have children, whose hope to have children has been frustrated, for all mothers who have lost children, for all women and men who have mothered others in any way, those who have been our substitute mothers, and we who have done so for those in need, and for the earth that bore us and provides us with our sustenance. Gather us, Lord, as we lift to you the special needs that we bring to you this day. Under the shadow of your wings, we find our refuge. In your gentle care, we find our home. And in your living spirit, we are united this day, Lord, as we offer to you our prayers in the name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.